Today we're Be'ez Hashem going to conclude the sixth and begin the seventh parak of Maseches Peah. So we are up to Parak Vav Mishnah Yud Aleph. Says Ni Mishnah, Hakotzer Belayla, if a person is harvesting grain at night, so he doesn't see everything, Vama'amer, and he's piling up the grain, he's bundling up the grain at night, Vasuma, or someone is blind, whether it be day or night, he can't see. So Yeshlem Shicha, nevertheless, there is still a halach of Shicha, meaning one might have thought that there's not going to be a din of Shicha because he hasn't really forgotten it, he never really had an opportunity to see what he was bringing in. So nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that whatever he leaves out there is still going to be shichcha. But if when he was harvesting, he was only trying to take in the thicker, more robust grains, and he was leaving the thinner ones out there on purpose, then those thinner ones are not considered shichcha. Imamar harei, right, mean that would not have a status of shichcha, because he was leaving them there on purpose. He wasn't forgetting them. In Omer Harei Ani Kotzer Alminas Masha Ani Shochech Ani Etol Yesh La Shichad. If a person says, you know, I'm going to harvest right now, but it's only Alminas that whatever I forget, I should be entitled to go back and take, and it shouldn't be there for the Aniyim, then it's still going to have a din of Shichah. And as the reason for that is, the Bartanur points out the Masal Masha Kosma Torah Utino Bata, because he's making a Tanai against that which it says in the Torah. Torah says that when you do harvesting and you forget some grain, that grain is going, or when you do some collecting of the bundles and you forget some grain, that grain is going to be shicha. So for him to say that he's going to harvest and that whatever he leaves over is not going to be shicha is a tenai against that which it says in the Torah, and therefore the tenai is going to be batal. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Tosfos, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that lechora you don't even need the principle of al mashkas b'Torah to know batal. He says lu yehei to be amal to know kaim. Even if the normal tenai against that which it says in the Torah is a binding tenai, ha tenai that only means, meaning what is the nature of Tanai? Tanai means that I'm doing a certain action al Tanai, that the chalos should only be, the chalos of this maisa should only happen al Tanai, that something happens. And if with the Tanai is not meant, then the chalos of this maisa shouldn't happen. So kimo mekadesh u megarish umocher al Tanai, if you are mekadesh anisha, you're megarish anisha al Tanai. So the chalos of the gerish and the chalos of the kiddush and the chalos of a mecher, if you sell something al Tanai, that it's not going to be chal, that it's not going to be effective. But over here, av alhacha imi masne, says Rabbi Kivegar, what kind of Tanai? Va umashayich littles ketzira al Tanai, that I'm harvesting al Tanai, and what? And al Tanai that I get to keep the shicha. And if I don't get to keep the shicha, then what do I have in mind? That I'm not harvesting? I'm harvesting. Everything is harvested in the end. Heich shayich lomer dem lo yiskayim at Tanai lo yiyah ketzira v'tzarachiyun. So says Rabbi Kivegar, this is a big tzarachiyun as to why it is that we even need masa mashkas v'tzarach Tanai batal. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's not even subject to Tanai because you're harvesting. So once you're harvesting. Even if normally masa mashkas v'tzarach is Tanai Kayim, that's only to prevent the chalos from happening. But over here, there's a direct maisa that's taking place. So that is Rabbi Kivegar's kasha on why we even need this principle in this context. Okay, now we begin Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. Kol Zayis, and now we're going to talk about Shicha when it comes to trees. At least the first couple of Mishnayos of the Parak will talk about Shicha as far as it relates to trees. Kol Zayis Sheyesh L'Shem, any olive tree that has a name, Basada, within your orchard, within your field, Afilu Kazayis Hanetufa B'Shaito, even if it's known as the olive tree that drips oil in its time when it's laden with olives, V'Shchacho, and you forget it, Eino Shicha. That is not going to be considered Shicha. B'Medvar Mamurim, why is that not shicha? Because it's such a significant tree that it's highly unlikely that you have actually forgotten to pick the fruits from that tree. Because of course you're going to go back to it. You can say, oh, whatever happened with the Zayis Hanatufa, that the famous Zayis Hanatufa that we have in our field. In the Tosfos Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that Birushalmi Masa Kivin Shosa Rov Hashana Buribo Yav Bishenosa Bikol Shana Vashana Sagibach Lios L'Shem, that in order to have a name of something, in order for the Zayis to have a shame, it doesn't have to be that every single year it produces a significant amount of oil. It could just be that most years it does. So that's always going to be an olive tree that has a shame, even if in certain years it doesn't do anything different than any of the other olive trees. But what gives an olive tree a shame? Meaning what makes an olive tree different and unique and stand out and therefore not be subject to shechcha? It has to be different in one of three ways, either in how people refer to it, in what it does, or in its location. Bishmo, in how people refer to it, Shaya Shafchuni, Obaishoni, they'll either call it a Shafchuni. Shafchuni means that it pours out a lot of oil from it, that it produces a lot of oil. By Shani, the Bartanur explains, Shu Mevayesh Kol Shar Ilanos Meirov, Hashem and Sheyotzi Menios Mechaveirov, that it's Ki'ilu, it embarrasses all the other trees because it produces so much more oil than the other trees. Bimasov, in what way is a tree distinct in its actions? Shu Osaharbe, that it produces a lot of olive. And Bimakomo, in what way can it be distinct in its location? Shu omid betzad hagas o betzad hapirza, that this olive tree happens to be located right next to the olive press, or right next to the right next to a breach somewhere in the fence. Bisharkol is, so that's what makes a tree distinct enough that it's not going to be subject to shichcha. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Bisharkol hazesim, in general, when you have regular olive trees, shnayim shichcha, u'shlosha einan shichcha. If you forget to pick the olives from two of them, that would be shichcha, but if you forget three of them, then it's no longer shichcha. Rabbi Yossi Yomar ein shichcha lezesim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, olive trees are so chashuv that there can never be any such thing as shichcha bezesim. Meaning, we said in the first part of the Mishnah that sometimes an olive tree is so chashuv because of its unique title, its unique behaviors, its unique location. Says Rabbi Yossi, every olive tree is always so chashuv that it's not going to be subject to shichcha. Says the Bartanur, Rabbi Yossi is not really arguing on the Tanakama. Lo amar Rabbi Yossi ele bizman shaba adrinus kesar vehechriv eskala aretz velo hayu zeisim metzuyin, that Rabbi Yossi is talking about a time after adrinus kesar came and destroyed the entire land, and they didn't have too many olive trees. But when you have olive trees all over the place, like we do now, Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, then Rabbi Yossi would agree that there's shichal azesim, because not every olive tree is so chashuv if you have olives all over the place. Right? It always bothered me that in the Hanukkah story, that they couldn't find any new olive oil. They only had that one pach shemen that was tahar. Why couldn't they just make new olive oil? The Harabai is right next to Har HaZeisim. It's right there. How do you think Har HaZeisim got its name? Because it's got a whole bunch of olive trees. Elamai, must be that was a time where the olive trees were all destroyed and they didn't have olive trees accessible to them, I guess. Right? Based on this Bar Tanura. So V'chein Misha, you call Zeisim Netufa Shufchani or Baishani, Yesham Shecha, and says Bar Tanura an additional Chiddush. We said that sometimes an olive tree is so chashav that it's not going to be subject to Shecha. What if you have a whole orchard of olive trees that are also chashav? He said, then they will be subject to shichcha, because all of it, meaning what he's trying to tell us is that that what makes something chashuv is relative. It's all subjective, and if in a given reality it's not so chashuv because it's very common, then it would be subject to shichcha. It's only when something is unique and unusual, whether it be the actual existence of an olive tree or whether it be the unique type of olive tree, it's only when it's really unique for that time that it's going to be exempt from the status of shichcha. So to quickly review, the 11th Mishnah in the 6th Parak told us that even if you don't see what you're harvesting, there still is a din of shichcha, and if you are dafka taking the larger grains and leaving out the smaller ones, there won't be a din of shichcha, and a person cannot make a tenai that he's harvesting al menas that there shouldn't be shichcha. And then Parak Zayin Mishnah Aleph told us that if you have an olive tree that is distinct and very chashuv, it's not going to be subject to shichcha, and it can be distinct either in the way that it's referred to, either or in what it produces, or in the location of the tree. And then we said, that the number of olive trees that would be shichcha is if you forget two of them. Once you forget three, it's not shichcha. And Rabbi Yossi adds that if you're living at a time where olive trees are not at all common, so then any olive tree is going to be chashuv enough that we assume it's never forgotten, and therefore it's not going to be subject to shichcha. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis.